Let's take a few moments, a few minutes to hear about you on your side of reality, how it's unfolding. So if there are any questions about practice or you know, some words you would want more, some theme you would want to explore more, something, maybe I can try my best. Yes? Sorry? Our thoughts, sensations, I would not put them in the realm of sense. I would describe, and it's good to, for us to define the language together, but to me, sensation would be physical touch, you know, so belly rising, falling, tingling, pressure, heat, things that are, I think in the text it says, you know, the domain of the material domain of the body. So, you know, what can be touched by heat or cold or insects or snakes, I think, if I go back to the old text. So these are sensations. It's in the physical realm. So thoughts are another domain in my view. And but thoughts like can bring emotions or trigger emotions, but let's say they bring emotions, then there would be sensations related to that, you know. So if I have thoughts of resentment, it's very possible that in my chest there would be some sensations, contractions, things like this, you know. Where, yeah, there might be something. So the questions is in terms of neuroplasticity and the research in neurology, and would there be a sensation associated with thoughts? And so maybe in my mind, thoughts, the way I use it, like very rapidly, is like something heard or said or seen or, you know, sight or something, but in inner. But when the mind gets really quiet, and that's what we're working at here, quieting, so there's not like an onslaught, if that's the word, of thoughts and images and impressions. If we can get a few gaps here and there and ground the attention in the body, because the body is really there. Thoughts, you know, what is my value? Do I belong or not belong? What's going to happen to me? That's very like, ooh, tricky. Yeah. There's definitely discoveries to be made, but maybe we'll discover that something mental, there's an aspect that is mental that remains mental, meaning not exactly material. But when the mind does quiet down, gets unified, like the forces of the mind, instead of being scattered, becomes gathered, and that's what we're doing here. So creating a field where there's stability, balance, we're not in reactivity, obsession, etc. We're very much available to life. The attention is more refined. Then we'll make discoveries about thoughts, you know, how they appear, how they disappear, how ephemeral they are, even though they feel so real and true and serious and there, you know, we might discover that actually they have a nature of being more ephemeral, light, and that would be very liberating, wouldn't it? And we might discover that happens when there is a lot of unification of mind or concentration. We start to see things in a more minute way. So even the intention to think might suddenly be recognizable. The mind that goes from quiet, you know, just connecting with the breath, and that goes some, like, you know, about to have a comment about lunch, you know, like. And so one could feel that, like, I make it physical, but there's a thing like the intention arising. And in practice, often we have this like 10 minutes down the line, no? Like, oh, when did you get here? Thought, you know, I've been with you for a few crosses of the path in the walking, you know, like, and suddenly I just realized, oh my God, I've been thinking. I've been entranced, caught in thinking, captured, my freedom taken away from me, you know, entranced for a few minutes there. So we realize that late. But in practice, it might become earlier and earlier, so much so that at some point in practice, one can see the intention to think and then that's renunciation there. Like, let's say I'm about to have an opinion about somebody, you know. Like, if I go there, it's a whole loop, you know. Or if I start evaluating, like, I'm just breathing in, breathing out, feeling the belly, and then, how am I doing compared to this person? Like, you know, you're about to go there, and you feel like, oh my God, this is so much trouble. You know, I prefer just stay here and breathe, so I'm renouncing something that is not so useful for the mind, you know. And so that's part of the clarification that happens in this practice. We clarify how the use of the mind is for my benefit and the benefit of others, or not for my benefit or for the benefit of others, you know. So the question is about, is it possible to actually at some point be fully embodied and have thoughts be present in the field without being entranced? And I think totally, totally possible. But today we're starting with, like, we're not including thought, we're trying to be embodied first, you know? And then we'll see, and it probably is happening already, that we see thoughts arise in the mind, and they're not disturbances, or they're not in fascinating and like swallowing us or our attention. Yeah. So in the same way that a sound can arise in the room, and I won't be caught by it, but just say, oh, there's a sound arising, or there's a breath arising. It's totally known. There's not a problem. Thoughts can be known in this way, but we're presently aware that thinking is happening. When for us, usually with thoughts, this is not what happens. For most of us, I think most of the time, it's like we're engrossed in the movie. You know, no, don't open the door, it's behind the door, you know? Like forgetting that actually, and that's why we go to the movie. We pay a lot of money, you know, so we get entranced, you know? But here the practice is, can you be aware that there's light, you know, being shoved onto a screen, you know? And be awake, that's wakefulness, you know? And so that when thoughts come, they're not like, you know, like, oh, you're a lousy meditator. Oh, no, I'm not lousy, and a big debate. You know, it's just like, oh, there's something landing in the mind, you know, and it might be true, might not be true, but there's definitely something appearing in the mind, a thought, an impression, a sense, a perception, you know. And the practice is to be awake to this, be awake to the body and all its formations and you know, what appears and what happens in the body, but also in the mind heart, you know, so that we're not in thoughts but also emotions, so that if suddenly there's this, you know, this emotion of I don't know what, impatience, that I don't totally believe it, but I'm awake, like, wow, big charge of like, ring the darn bell now, you know. And it doesn't appear like, you know, it should be rang now, or wrong, or whatever the verb is here. You know, but that there is that arising in the heart, mind, body. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the practice. Okay. So maybe we'll take the 1 hour lunch meditation session now. So we're in silence. I think the places where we can eat have been said, outside or up here. Or so these places are silent. Now in meditation, sitting often, I was saying earlier, is sight, and not sight, but sound, hearing, and body awareness are most predominant. But here now we might have taste also, and sight, and smell that can come in the field. So it can be good to actually be awake to the experience. In the practice, we notice a lot of things arising and passing, you know, arising in our consciousness and disappearing. And so in eating, it's a really good moment to experience this, because the taste is so tasty. And a few seconds after, ephemeral, gone, you know. A crunchy bite is so crunchy. And a few seconds later, it's mushy, you know. And so try to see, if you want to, you know, can you be there? Like, what kind of presence can you bring? It might be a specific presence, very minute, or it might be like a being here. What is it like to be here in silence, you know, and the appearance and disappearance of pleasantness or unpleasantness. So it's the field of practice that we're invited into here. It's actually, again, I think you might get this sense, but what we're talking about is powerful stuff. You know, it's not just like, oh yeah, be rather present. Yeah, it's a good thing to be there when you're eating, you know. It's not that. It's that actually the whole spiritual path, or the whole, you know, human kind of conundrum of what is it to be a human being, can be solved in activities like this. There can be profound discoveries made about, you know, untrue perceptions we have about the world, you know. So but we cannot force this. We cannot. The only way to do this is humbly showing up for what is showing up, you know, to really taste, to really. And the more we get attuned, the more we get refined in our attention, it will happen naturally if we show up, give the best that we can to what's happening. A lot will be revealed for us in amazing ways, I think. But we don't get to decide when and how. But still, this, what we're talking about, is conditional. Insight, vipassana, liberating understanding, is conditional to quality of presence. Non-judgmental, not habitual present, not blasé present. Do you have this word in English? Like, yeah, it's a whole peanut butter sandwich. I've had it all week, you know. No, I've never had peanut butter sandwich now, you know. I've never experienced sitting now. The light now, the cold now, is a new, unique experience now. Okay. As they say in America, bon appetite.